Now, more of The Drive with Steve Jackson on Sonoma County's News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Welcome back to The Drive. This is Pete Fopiano, guest hosting for Steve Jackson. One of the fallouts, if you will, of the Great Recession was the drop in value in home prices and the foreclosures, and we're still dealing with that, even though we've kind of recovered, maybe recovered. Housing values in Sonoma County are up. But one interesting item is that a lot of minority communities were harder hit than anyone else. One city that's particularly hard hit was Miami. And they are trying to recoup some of their losses from banks that contributed to the crisis. They claim that they are due compensation from Bank of America and Wells Fargo under the Fair Housing Act. Now, that's a law that Congress passed in 1968 that bars sellers, banks, and landlords from discriminating against buyers and tenants on the basis of race. And they charge that these banks spent a decade giving whites low-cost loans while targeting blacks and Latinos for their riskiest, most expensive mortgages. Now, obviously, this is not something that's going to be resolved easily. We're going to have to see how this plays through the courts. But we'll be keeping an eye on it, and it plays very well into what we want to talk about in this segment of the show. My guest is George Adair with Bay Equity Home Loans. George, you may remember, for those of you who are regular listeners of KSRO, and if you're not, you should be. George has his show Wednesday at noon on air with George Adair, where he talks about mortgage, finance, real estate, et cetera, et cetera. George, welcome.
Hey, thanks, Pete.
Hey, you just commented is that you're usually on this side of the chair when you do the show, and now you're on the other side of the chair, but we're still here, and we're going to be talking about issues that that should concern everyone who either is a homeowner or who wants to be a homeowner. And one of the big questions...
Or who used to be homeowners, right?
Used to be a homeowner, right, and maybe would like to be again. Of course, we deal with that ourselves. I mean, our company, Golden Bear Financial, deals with Bay Equity and vice versa. So we're kind of a similar experience. But George is my guest, and I'm going to have him talk about the election. What is going to happen?
Yeah. Yeah.
Only in relates to, what's going to happen as far as the lending industry and the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau, which Republicans have had under fire for a while. And George, give us your best guess. What do we think we can be looking for as consumers in the future?
Well, Pete, thanks for having me on your show. I appreciate it very much. I enjoy listening to Jackson, but I'm sure you're doing a great job filling in for him.
Thank you. I'm doing my best.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, Pete, you've been doing this a long time. Golden Bear Financial is a staple in Sonoma County, mortgage lending, real estate. You've been around a long time. So you know what this economy went through. And I think that the Republican agenda today is going to try to swing the pendulum back a little bit. You know, folks, when we talk about what happened with the Great Recession, it was a lot to do with putting restrictions and controls on what was really bad behavior by banks and lenders and appraisers. And those controls swung the pendulum so far over to the other direction that it's become really difficult for different groups of the population to get home financing. You mentioned minority groups earlier. Also, we can't forget about self-employed borrowers. They've had a heck of a time with being able to demonstrate income in a fashion that fits the box, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So I believe that the Republican agenda is going to make an effort to stifle the CFPB, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which came out of Dodd-Frank. The SAFE Act was really intended to establish very tight banking controls. It also bled over into mortgage lending and guidelines specifically. So I think it's going to get a little bit looser, frankly. And nearly every Republican candidate, that was stumping for the nomination, they all wanted to basically undo CFPB. They wanted to undo Dodd-Frank. So I think we're going to have an opportunity where sort of ma and pa, homeowner are going to be able to experience looser underwriting guidelines. But I think they're going to leave some provisions in. So it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out.
One of the interesting aspects of the shakeout of the Great Recession and Dodd-Frank is that a lot of the independent business owners, a lot of the independent companies are now dealing with additional regulation such as, you now have to obtain an additional license to do mortgage lending and real estate. It never used to be that way. You just had one license and you could do both. Interestingly enough, the banks that were very heavily involved in lobbying Congress have exempted themselves from a lot of these issues. So it's one of the things that we've talked about for years about Dodd-Frank is that the intent of closer scrutiny of lending practices is a good one, but it should apply to everyone, not just a select few.
They attempted to federalize mortgage lending across the board without excluding the banks, which is crazy because if you look at it, the banks all operate under a federal charter. And if anybody needed to be really watched over, if consumer protectionism really needed to be inclusive of a specific industry, it was the big tier one banks. These are the Wells Fargos, the Chases, the B of A's that all absorbed the Countrywide and Wachovia's and World Savings. And what you ended up having was this attempt at overregulation, and it excluded the largest segment of loan originators in the country. There, at the time that this was happening, banks accounted for a vast majority of all mortgage loan originations. Mortgage bankers, who are now really governed by NMLS, the National Mortgage Licensing System, were a very small fragment of the mortgage lending segment of the industry. So we've had this reversal of roles where today mortgage bankers like Bay Equity Home Loans account for a larger segment than they used to, but the banks still run the vast majority of mortgage loan applications. And you can't deny that. And that has to be reviewed because we can't just let that go. Loan originators, look what happened with Wells Fargo.
Yeah,
eight is great.
Yeah.
Eight is great. Do you remember what that meant? That meant they wanted every Wells Fargo customer to have eight different types of accounts. How did they do that? Walk up to the teller booth, make a deposit. Teller sees you got 50 grand or more in the bank. I'm making that number up. But they see that you got some money in the bank. What do? They try to get you to go talk to a banker about opening another line.
Credit card, home equity, whatever it is.
I mean, to me, that's predatory. Someone wants to go up to the teller window. Teller window is not licensed to offer any financial products in most cases. But the banks have been exempt from a majority of the oversight of the licensing that was put forth by Dodd-Frank. So a lot of that's got to be reevaluated. And I hope they do. I hope they do. And I believe the Republican mandate will be to thin that out a little bit.
Well, and it has to be a level playing field because, I mean, look at, you mentioned Wells Fargo, which is just the most recent example, is that, yes, you had someone who basically was engaging in what everybody has now determined to basically be predatory practices. Mm-hmm. And, you had the CEO resign, and if you saw Senator Elizabeth Warren go after John Stumpf,
oh boy,
the CEO,
that
was like a cage fight.
Oh, it was amazing.
It wasn't unjustified either, because in a lot of cases you had people who really couldn't afford the products, but these sales quotas that were put in place were designed for the bottom line of the bank, mm-hmm. not for the benefit of the consumers. And things like that have to change. It's not only fair, it's reasonable, and it makes economic sense as well as regulatory sense.
I agree. Well, we do have a big problem. And one of the biggest problems we have does have to do with interest rates. Interest rates are so low that it's very hard to find private equity that will buy these mortgages in the secondary market. Pete, the number one aggregator of all mortgages are the GSEs. These are the government-sponsored entities like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and Ginnie. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure what the current status today, but my previous research a couple years ago was they were buying 90% of all mortgage-backed securities. So you have government-sponsored entity buying 90% of mortgage-backed securities, creating all the lending rules, and it made it really, really hard for the average consumer to qualify for a mortgage because there still was not enough private equity groups. Remember back in the day, before the Great Recession, a large majority of mortgages were financed by pension, in life insurance, hedge funds, and they were willing to take risk because interest rates allowed for that. Today, they're not. It's still Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
And that was one of the big topics of discussion, particularly among the Republican candidates, is, what is the role of Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, FHA, for that matter, the Federal Reserve?
Mm-hmm.
And that, I guess, is one of the things we're going to watch very closely and see how it plays out as the Trump administration kind of, hits the ground and begins running, and as the Republican Congress Who knows if they're going to be in agreement? But obviously, we know that there's going to be some sort of change. So we're going to be very anxious to see what that change is. We're going to go to break for just a quick moment. We're talking with George Adair of Bay Equity, and we're trying to see how all this impacts you, the average homeowner, the business owner, and what maybe you can expect in the next couple of years. This is Pete Fopiano on The Drive. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Here's a Drive traffic update with Michael Green in the KSRO Traffic Center.
All right, lane flip is underway at the Golden Gate Bridge, but traffic relatively light into and out of Marin. No major hassles there. If you're heading for the city, South 101, a pretty decent ride. North 101 is hanging steady here, right about the Stinson Beach exit, right as you get onto the Richardson Bay Bridge. And that slow traffic will carry out towards the big malls there, flanking 101 at Paradise and Tamalpais. And now we're seeing a little heavier eastbound Sir Francis Drake as you head out past Larkspur Landing and the ferry terminal. That is slow as you go into that lane merge all the way out to the join up with East 580, which is backing up. And that bottleneck is quite impressive again today as you try to hit the Richmond-San Rafael Bridge. Narrows will turn slow just north of Atherton. Let's go stretches from there up to Washington. And that's your Drive traffic. I'm Michael Green in the KSRO Traffic Center.
Golden State Warriors play-by-play is sponsored in part by Hansel BMW on 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO.
Mountain Mike's Pizza's been making delicious pizza the way it ought to be since 1978. We make them with the freshest meats and vegetables, and our handmade pizza dough is made from scratch each morning. And now, just when you thought it can't get any better, we offer something even more. Gluten-free crust. Try any of your favorite toppings or cheeses on our gluten-free crust. It's the same great taste you love about Mountain Mike's Pizza, just without the gluten. For locations near you or to order online, visit MountainMikes.com.
At Mountain Mike's Pizza, we strive to do more than just make great tasting pizza. We believe passionately in being active participants in our local communities and are proud to support organizations, sports teams, and groups that help to better our neighborhoods through education, sports, the arts, charitable acts, and spiritual leadership. We have fundraising opportunities available to help you raise money for your program or even just help feed the team. To get started or sign up, visit our website at mountainmikes.com/fundraising.
Did you know the largest RV dealer in the North Bay is now celebrating 25 years in business, and they're right here in Petaluma? Reed's Trailer Sales on Old Redwood Highway in Petaluma has over 200 travel trailers, fifth wheels, and truck campers. Now is the time to make the best deals of the season, and Reed's will match any show deal on comparable models. Also, Reed's Trailer Sales is looking to consign your late model motorhome, travel trailer, or fifth wheel. Let our experts sell it for you. Reed's will get you top dollar and save you all the time and hassle. Or they can pay you cash on the spot. The largest RV dealer with over 25 years in business is right here in your own backyard. Reed's Trailer Sales in Petaluma. Call 792-9100 or on the web at reedsrv.com. Reed's Trailer Sales, now accepting consignments.
Reed's. You should buy your trailer at Reed's, a fifth wheel travel trailer or utility. You should buy your trailer at Reed's.
Reed's Trailer Sales.
Community pride, it's all inside. We're Petaluma Pride.
If you think a home refresh might pick up your spirits right now, the most economic first step would be new window coverings. Shopping for a single window treatment? Redecorating your entire home? Or looking for a great design idea? Don't go to the internet. The best local professionals are right in your backyard. From the moment you step through the door at Blinds Direct in Petaluma, you'll experience why shopping local just makes good sense when you're looking for custom window fashions and interior design ideas. The staff at Blinds Direct has received extensive training on everything windows and proudly represents Hunter Douglas window coverings. Locally owned for almost 30 years, Blinds Direct will give you the best possible service, including home visits and installation. 420 Lakeville Street in Petaluma or Blinds Direct Petaluma. Blinds Direct is
Petaluma Proud.
Never thought of yourself as a hero? That's what you'll be for a child in poverty when you become a sponsor with Compassion International. Find out how you can release a child from poverty right now. Go to compassion.com/radio.
Riding home with Steve Jackson on The Drive on News Talk 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO.
Welcome back to The Drive. This is Pete Fopiano here on KSRO, substituting for Steve Jackson. Hey, we are talking with George Adair of Bay Equity, and we're trying to forecast the future. You know, what might happen in the next few years as far as financial regulation, what's going to happen with the banks, what's going to happen with mortgage lending, and what does this all mean to you, the consumer, the average homeowner who basically just, you know, he's either trying to get a loan or trying to, you know, buy, sell. What does it mean to them?
You know what it means? I dusted off my crystal ball when I came into the show here, Pete, just for you. You said, hey, what's it going to look like next year? What's 2017 going to look like? You know what it means? First off, it means the, let me dispel the myth. Trump isn't going to set banking and federal and dictate federal policy on mortgage lending. It's going to go and start in Congress, and you know eventually could end up as a bill that Donald Trump signs. So folks shouldn't be disillusioned by the overreaching power of the executive branch to have an influence on real estate and mortgage lending in their day to day life. This is going to take time. It's going to work its way through a system of review, and Congress is going to be working with this and looking at how people have been, really negatively affected by Dodd-Frank. Folks, it really doesn't matter which side of the political aisle you proclaim to be on. You can't deny the challenges with getting home loans today. It's not easy. It's easier than it was a couple of years ago, but it's not easy for a lot of folks that have a tough time documenting their true gross income because they're taking advantage of tax deductions, especially small business owners. It's not easy for people that bounce around from one job to another trying to get into a new career. Maybe they've gone from working for somebody else to a recent self-employed. So we need all these issues that have been presented to us by the banks and by Fannie Mae to work themselves out. We have to make lending available to people. And that's only going to start when regulation starts to be adjusted in favor of consumers. And that's my opinion. Right now, regulation is not in favor of your average consumer when it comes to mortgage lending. It's too hard. And it's because so many people lost their homes, defaulted on their mortgages, and banks stopped feeling comfortable making them loans. That's really what happened. So we need to work ourselves through all this, and it's not something that a Trump administration is going to immediately change.
No, it's going to take more than, you know, and whether you voted for Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton doesn't really matter.
It doesn't.
It's the driving force in all this is going to be Congress. Yep. And let's not kid ourselves, it's going to be the lobbyists and everybody else who's going to try to set this policy. Mm-hmm. And the intent of Dodd-Frank, I think we can all agree, was a laudable one, which was to try to make, to bring some sense and coherence into the financial system. But as in anything, the devil's in the details. And if you look at some of the details, some of it actually ended up being less favorable to consumers than it could have been had they pursued a different course.
Well, I think the appraisal process is a great example of that. It's morphed into one version or another. There was HVCC, which was a regulation on how appraisals could be ordered and how appraisals could be delivered. And today, the appraisal process has become so sterile that it's not realistic. I mean, there's, especially in Sonoma County, we've got some unique property. And if you have a property that the appraiser, frankly, doesn't like or doesn't think it's in the highest and best use of the property, they have a lot of control over what they'll say in that report. And heaven forbid if someone gets a subject to appraisal. I mean, you've been down that road with Golden Bear Financial, your business.
Oh, more times than I'd like to count.
Right? You know, yeah. You get that appraisal report back and it's subject to some sort of correction on the property, as if that should make a huge difference. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. But remember what the value of an appraisal to the lender is. It's the eyes of the lender. See, the report comes in and the lender says, well, I'm going to rely on this report to determine if I get this property back, if the bank has to take this property back in a foreclosure, can they resell it? And, you know, I used to do real estate. I remember doing a BPO, broker price opinion. Remember we were doing those?
Oh, yeah.
Back in 2008 and 2009, it was just like gangbusters, just trying to help people work through the inventory, trying to help banks work through the inventory. And I drove up. My wife was a real estate agent, and I drove up with her to do a BPO on a property that didn't exist. The land was there. The house didn't exist. So this lender made a loan, and probably there was a fraudulent appraisal done, and there was no house.
That would be my guess, yeah.
So we do understand that some of the regulation has some merit, but we do need to swing that pendulum back. It's just become too hard.
Well, it's created a whole new cottage industry of, you know, we call them in the trade AMCs, appraisal management companies, mm-hmm. some of which are owned by lenders, some of which are independent. And what it's done is, back in the old days, and this is not that far ago, but, you know, back in the old days, you could pick an appraiser. You could ask them ahead of time and say, hey, you know, what do you think this is worth? And what that gave you is that gave you a sense, not of trying to push the value, but a sense of, you know, was it even worth proceeding?
Mm-hmm.
Now it's illegal to talk value for anybody who's licensed to talk value to an appraiser. I mean,
you can't even pick up the phone and call the appraiser.
No, you have to go through the appraisal right. management company.
Right.
So you've created another layer of bureaucracy, which really hasn't accomplished anything except to add a delay, mm-hmm. charge an additional fee. And the unintended side effect of all this is, back when you could pick your own appraisal, you, the borrower, you, the consumer who had paid for this appraisal, and you're still paying for these appraisals,
uh-huh.
owned that appraisal. And you could, if you didn't, you know, get a favorable result from lender A, you could go to lender B, lender C, whatever, and take that appraisal with you. Now, the lender owns the appraisal, not you, even though they charged you for it.
Lender does own the appraisal, and it's... There are some ways for the appraisal to be transferred if the lender wants to release it, but frankly, you're not going to get much for that anyways, because most lenders are all playing by the same underwriting guidelines anyways.
Yeah.
So what's the point, right?
Even if lender A wants to release it, lender B may not want to accept it.
They may not want to accept it because there's their own risk that they have to own. You know, we've talked a lot of technical jargon. I think it's important to kind of bring it back to basics, which is, what do people do today? You know what you do today? You get yourself pre-approved, work with a lender, make sure that you understand what the current terms are, ask lots of questions, go through the disclosures together, work with someone reputable. There's a lot of them in town. And you get yourself prepared financially. And once you have your pre-approval, then you go out and go shopping. And that's what you do. Right. That's the answer. Start with a pre-approval, work with a lender.
Great advice from someone who's been in the business for quite a few years. We're coming up on the bottom of the hour, so we're going to take a bit of a break. But I'll have to thank George Adair, George of Bay Equity Home Loans, longtime lender. And I have to thank him because he's had me on his show. So now I'd like to return the favor and have him on a show that I'm hosting.
Anytime, so, Pete. Thanks so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for coming in.
Tell Steve I said hi.
I will tell Steve. He'll give us a full report on how Washington, D.C. is and how he's improved it by his presence. Anyway, hey, it's almost 4:30. This is Pete Fopiano hosting for The Drive. My guest, George Adair, always a pleasure. We're going to take a quick break for some news, weather, and or traffic. We'll be back in a bit. Stick with us. This is The Drive on KSRO.
Hello, Sonoma County. I'm Steve Kerr, and this is the home of Golden State Warriors play-by-play, 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO.
Service enforcing strict new rules. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
A recent spate of wildfires in the southeast. The Forest Service enforcing...
I'm Tom Busby, CNBC. Chinese-owned AMC Theaters, already the largest movie theater operator in the world, just got even bigger. Shareholders of rival Carmike Cinemas approving that chain's $1 billion sale to AMC. On Wall Street today, stocks higher again, with the Dow notching its fourth all-time high in as many days, thanks to a spike in the price of oil, which lifted energy company shares, a rebound in tech shares, and higher consumer spending in October. The Dow up 54, the Nasdaq up 57. Chevron and ExxonMobil among the biggest gainers in the Dow. The biggest decliner, Home Depot, despite posting strong sales and higher profits last quarter. But its outlook for future sales disappointed. Shares down about 2.5% today. And Boeing cutting 500 jobs, moving 2,500 more workers. And it's planning to close down two plants, one in Texas, one outside the nation's capital, as it looks to streamline operations and save money.
Sonoma County's News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Gene Crozaw, founder of GNC Auto Body, speaks about the Crozaw Family Foundation.
Imagine a family living in a van with paper around the back window so people can't see in at night, and stopping at a gas station so that children can go to the bathroom and wash their face and brush their teeth before they go to school. There comes a time when you're so blessed that you realize that it's up to all of us to love our fellow man, and to be in business and make money for the sake of making money has no purpose. And that's why we started the Crozaw Family Foundation. So we take a portion of the profits of all the GNC stores. We put these monies in the foundation, and monthly, all of the money that we put into the foundation goes right to help people that run across hard times, to give them hope, to give them a home, to give them food, to give them a vehicle to drive so they can go get a job. It's not a you world, a me world. It's a you and me world. At my stage of life, that's my purpose. It is the most wonderful feeling in the whole world. Thank you very much.
Community pride, it's all inside. We're Petaluma proud. This is home, this is where you belong. Historical, beautiful Petaluma. Thriving business, growing strong. People helping people, working together. Petaluma proud. Community pride, it's all inside. We're Petaluma proud.
From First Community Bank, and I'm Petaluma proud.
Petaluma has been used as the filming location for numerous movies set in the 1940s, 50s, and 60s, notably American Graffiti, Peggy Sue Got Married, and Basic Instinct.
I'm Ron Mangan. I'm from Pelham Pio Training Center, and I'm Petaluma proud.
Pioneers flocked into Petaluma from the eastern United States after the discovery of gold in California in 1849.
Petaluma.
Brought to you by the proud members of the Petaluma Chamber of Commerce.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Just go to carclickgo.com for your next vehicle search.
Here's a drive traffic update with Michael Green in the KSRO Traffic Center.
We're getting first word of a stall, North 101 at the Steel Lane exit, so look out for some extended slowing there, North 101, with backups already from Golf Course and Wilfred to Baker, and then north of Highway 12 out at least to the downtown exit. South 101, River down to Corby, plenty of slow there, and the Narrows are still north of Atherton into Petaluma, out beyond Washington. No new problems besides that stall that we see, overall looking fairly standard issue for this time of day. And there's a little boy or girl living in poverty right now. They don't have enough to eat. They're sick. They can't go to school. And you can release them from that poverty when you become a sponsor with Compassion International. Find out how at compassion.com/radio. And that's your drive traffic. I'm Michael Green in the KSRO Traffic Center.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
Mostly cloudy tonight, low 49 inland and on the coast. Sunny skies for tomorrow, topping out at 61, 59 on the shores. Thursday, blue skies at 63, 62 in Bodega Bay. Friday, mostly sunny skies at 64, 63 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Now, more of The Drive with Steve Jackson on Sonoma County's News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Welcome back to The Drive. It's just after 4:30, and we're a little over halfway through the show. It's amazing how time flies when you're having fun. At least I'm having fun, and I hope you're listening to it. This is, are having fun too. This is Pete Fopiano subbing for Steve Jackson. We've had a number of topics. We've talked about some relatively serious stuff, but we got to remember that the holiday season is coming up. Of course, the stores had Christmas decorations up somewhere around Labor Day, if I remember correctly, which I usually ignore until about December 23rd. Then I realize it's like, boy, I better get out there and buy some Christmas presents. Me and 500,000 other people all trying to get through the mall, which is a frightening experience. But there are a lot of things coming up of entertainment for the family, family, friends, kids, whatever. One of the things that is going to be coming up soon, December 3rd and 4th, at the Santa Rosa Fairgrounds, is the Wine Country Winter Festival. And it's, of course, co-sponsored by one of the sister stations of KSRO, The Crush 95.9, along with a bunch of other businesses. We have Lagunitas Brewery and Oliver's Market and a number of other companies sponsoring. And there's going to be entertainment. You're going to see a Beatles flashback for those of you who are under 30. The Beatles were a fairly popular band in my youth. Well, we won't even go there. Just Google them. You'll see what I'm talking about. So we're going to have music. We're going to have wine, microbrew, spirit, cider tasting from City Cellars, Spicy Vines, Alexander Valley Cellars, Chateau Diana. We're going to have Anderson Valley Brewing, Sierra Nevada, Sonoma Brothers, Spirit Works, Bear Republic, and all more than I can even mention. Arts and crafts, foods, entertainment, Santa and his elves. What would a winter festival be without Santa and his elves? So again, that's going to be December 3rd and 4th, the Wine Country Winter Festival at the Santa Rosa Fairgrounds. Adults, $12 in advance. Seniors over 60, $10 in advance. And under 12, free. Remember, it's the holidays. Bring the kids, and a portion of the proceeds benefit the Sonoma County Fair Foundation. So not only is it going to be fun, it's a worthy cause, too. Okay, we segue away from holiday cheer into the realities of the world. My next guest, longtime friend, Maddie Hirschfield. Maddie has, Maddie, you've held so many hats, it's kind of hard for me. I'll go over a couple of your accomplishments. Former chair of the Sonoma County Democratic Central Committee, former legislative aide to Assemblyman West Chesboro, currently the political director of the North Bay Labor Council. Maddie, thank you for coming in.
Thank you. Thank you for asking me to be here.
As the political director of the North Bay Labor Council, there's a number of issues that we've had over the years that have been somewhat contentious. A couple of years back, subject to project labor agreements that went before the county board, the minimum wage, you name it.
Pensions, don't forget pensions.
Yeah, pensions. We can't forget pensions. There's always, everybody's always talking about pensions, and of course everybody we talk to has a different idea, pro or con, but anyway, it is an issue that we want to address, and we want to get Maddie's perspective on that. First of all, one of the things that, Maddie, that I'd like to ask you is that we just had a board election, and we have a newcomer, Linda Hopkins, who is going to be taking over for Efren Carrillo in the 5th District. Would you care to speculate as to the next year's makeup of the board, where you think they might be going politically as regards to some of the issues that you're involved in?
Well, I guess that's a tough way to start, but as you know, we supported Noreen Evans, to us it was that was our priority. We felt strongly that the balance of the board was in question. And I think what we've got here, it's hard for me to say what's going to come up and how it's going to go, because what we had here were two candidates, one with a 20-year record that, you know, that we could look at and substantiate where she stood on issues, what she's fought for, bills that she's authored, that kind of thing. And on the other hand, a total newcomer, as you have said, no track record at all. I'm sure she's well-meaning. I have no doubt that she's well-meaning. A lot of us are very concerned about you know, who was behind her. And, you know, it's hard to, when you look at somebody like Noreen Evans, it's no surprise that she's supported by labor, that she's supported by environmental groups, because that's her history, that's her background, that's her track record. So then you've got somebody with no track record who's supported by gravel mining and wineries and big ag and real estate. And so that causes us some concern. I'm a little reluctant to say, gee, I think this is going to come up and that's how it's going to go, because I want to give her a chance. I want to see what she does there. I have to say that there's a lot of concern.
Not dissimilar to what we faced in the presidential election is you had a candidate, Hillary Clinton, who has been in public life for more years than I can think of, you know, as first lady, senator, secretary of state, and, you know, as an activist, and who had a track record. Mm-hmm. Some might argue that parts of that track record didn't work in her favor, but you had a sense of, okay, this is where she's at. This is what I kind of figure where she's going to line up on this issue. And of course, Donald Trump, who was not really a political novice, but he'd never held elected office. And as we've talked about numerous times with numerous guests, the jury's still out on what we can expect. So similar thing here in the county.
Yeah.
Now there's some of the issues we talked about that have already come in front of the board. What are some of the issues that not just the North Bay Labor Council, but I mean labor in general, or the Democratic Party or affiliated groups are going to be looking to the board to say, hey, you know, we want to propose this. We want you to consider this.
Well, I'm again reluctant to say what we're going to bring forward. The pensions is a huge issue. It's always out there. As you say, everybody has an opinion. But in the county, we've had people that have worked, you know, been there 20, 30, 40 years, and they're there having made sacrifices in order to maintain their pension. They were given promises. And in return, we got a workforce that we could count on that had experience. There's that word again, experience. Mm-hmm. And history. And so we can't get to the end of that person's career and say, gee, sorry, we miscalculated. I know we made promises, but we miscalculated. So, you know, pensions, while they're an issue that has to be solved, taking pensions away or taking promises away from people who've given the county, you know, 20, 30, 40 years of service is not how you do it.
Well, and this is one of the things that I've consistently said is that we can talk about what went wrong. And, you know, before the hour is up, we will talk about some of the things that we think went wrong and maybe how we can resolve it. But it really is an issue of equity. Is if I, as an employer, make a promise to one of my employees, I feel morally obligated to keep that promise. And if I have to, I'll make a sacrifice myself. And there's a lot of other employers nationally who've said, you know what, I'm not asking somebody else to take a cut. If I don't take a cut, it's obligatory for me to do that, to lead by example. And whether or not that's happened to the extent that it should have is, of course, a question that we can bandy around, or people who are listening have their own opinions. Amazingly enough, we're going to have to take a break.
Okay.
We're ready for a quick break, and we're going to be coming back. We're talking to Maddie Hirschfield, the political director of the North Bay Labor Council. I'm Pete Fopiano here on The Drive. Stick with us through the break. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Sonoma County's Morning News with Melanie Morgan, weekdays 6 to 9 on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
This is Lawrence Amaturo, owner of News Talk KSRO, with good news from our community. From the upside, here's Steve Jackson.
The United Way of the Wine Country has been helping low-income families and seniors with their tax returns with their Earn It, Keep It, Save It program. This year was the busiest year yet, with more than 5,200 returns filed during 2016. That far exceeds expectations. They helped return $6.8 million, a $1 million increase over last year. This helps our community become more financially stable and helps, obviously, our local economy. See all the good work they're doing at UnitedWayWineCountry.org.
The Upside is presented by a community grant from Jackson Family Wines. Since 1982, Jackson Family Wines has put the same care into their employees, communities, and natural resources as they have into producing world-class wines.
C
Sustainability is the root of their vision of good land, water, and energy management. Jackson Family Wines was honored for their commitment to renewable energy with the 2016 Green Power Leadership Award by the Environmental Protection Agency.
Jackson Family Wines is also dedicated to being good community partners. Last year, they implemented Rooted for Good, a Jackson Family Wines volunteer program that gives their employees time to volunteer at local nonprofits. Learn more at JacksonFamilyWines.com.
The iconic Nick's Cove, an award-winning farm-to-table restaurant, is the only place in West Marin where you can enjoy fresh, locally sourced raw oysters and handcrafted cocktails overlooking Tamales Bay. While Nick's is known for their crab mac and cheese and crab cakes, Chef Austin Perkins' creations are beyond the usual. His menu sourced from local dairy and produce farms and the fresh seafood of Tamales Bay and nearby waters. Each dish is the perfect combination of comfort and refinement and the very essence of elegant. But it's hearty, farm-to-table cuisine. Nick's Cove Restaurant on Highway 1 in Marshall is only 25 minutes from Petaluma, a magical place to watch the glow of a sunset because every table has a view. Make dinner reservations or overnight accommodations in their luxury cottages at nickscove.com. Check out the beautiful boat shack on the pier where you can order cocktails and oysters while you're surrounded by beautiful water.
Riding home with Steve Jackson on The Drive on News Talk 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO.
Welcome back to The Drive here on KSRO. This is Pete Fopiano substituting for the vacationing Steve Jackson and, of course, Mike DeWalt. Let's not forget Mike, but we have Joe here producing, ably standing in, which is good because every time I look around and look at all these buttons and dials and flashing lights, if Joe wasn't here, there would be 3 hours of dead silence. Because I have no idea what to push or what to do. So, Joe, thank you for doing a great job producing. I literally couldn't do it without you, and I'm not just saying that. We are talking with Maddie Hirschfield, who is the political director for the North Bay Labor Council. But Maddie, you've held a lot of hats in and around the political arena in Sonoma County and other areas. And one of the things that your new job, of course, is going to be focused on labor issues and some of the things. And just before the break, we started to talk a bit about pensions. And one of the things that has always, I don't know, let's just use the word irritated me, for lack of a better word, is when someone points to, it's like, oh, you know, all these employees who are drawing pensions, it's bankrupting the county, et cetera, et cetera. And they always point to somebody like, for example, a Rod Dole, who's getting a couple of $100,000 a year and so forth. It's like, if you haven't, people who are listening in, if you haven't bothered to check, that is not the norm. The average person, I believe, on a pin, $1,200-$1,300 a month is probably about what they're getting.
I think it's in the 20s, but that's
20.
Yeah.
Well, it's
comparatively.
Suffice it to say, it's not hundreds of thousands of dollars. And again, the part that irritates me is that way back when, in the early 2002, I think it was, somewhere around in there, is the county retroactively increased pensions. And it's one thing to increase pensions, but when you retroactively increase pensions, the earnings of the pension fund didn't retroactively jump up to cover that. So, in effect, the board at that time made a promise to their employees that was impossible for them to keep unless miracles happened or absolutely perfect financial conditions continued, in fact, even got better, when they should have been putting money aside. If you make a promise to an employee, if I tell an employee, hey, I'm going to pay for your health insurance, I got to put money aside every month to make sure that that happens. Well, the board didn't do that. And then, of course, we got hit with the recession, so that's a double whammy. So now, like all things, I point to the top and say decisions come from the top, consequences come from the top, and now it's everybody's responsibility to solve it. But for those of you who are tempted to blame employees, think again and realize that the people who worked, as Maddie said, for years and years for the county were made promises to, and they never asked for major, you know, amounts. I mean, yeah, there was some give and take, and, you know, everybody at the bargaining table, there's some contentiousness. You know, we want this, well, we'll give this. And you meet somewhere in the middle and you come up with something that makes sense to all parties. But by no means was this a unilateral action. I mean, it happened. Now it's a question of where do we go from here? But if you're going to look at people who are receiving tremendous amounts, I would point to somebody like, let's say a Carly Fiorina, who essentially ran Hewlett-Packard into the ground, merged with Compaq, did a disastrous job, and then left with, what, $20 million in severance pay? I don't know about you, but if I've been fired from a job, I never got $20 million and said, you know, you screwed up. Go. Here's $20 million to make you feel better about it. So, okay, I'm off my soapbox. Anyway, let's talk about a couple of other things here.
Well, just on the pension thing, as you mentioned, the raw dulls of the world are few and far between. Everybody's very quick to point to that, but, you know, there are very few people drawing pensions from the county the size of Rod Dole. Mm-hmm. And the employees made tremendous cutbacks during the recession, healthcare, what have you. And it took a lot as we started to regain again and started, you know, coming out of the recession to get that to come back. I mean, SEIU had to strike to get the living wage passed. So it's about fairness, and it's about rewarding the people who we count on in this county to protect us and to take care of us, home health workers who, you know, are grateful for a dollar raise. You know, these people work hard, and they are the salt of the earth of this county, and we owe them. We owe them fairness.
I've seen the work that home health care workers do, I mean, on a personal level. And first of all, my hat's off to anybody who does that. Not only is it a vital service, some of these people are incredibly hardworking, and they're not doing it just for the salary. They're doing it because they want to care for us. And let's face it, you know, my generation, the baby boomers, we're not getting any younger. As every time I, you know, try to get out of a chair and the aches and pains remind me. And at some point, we're going to be, you know, recipients of you know, home health care or some sort of health care ourselves. We've already seen it happen with our parents and our grandparents. So, you know, I my hat's off to home health care workers. I can't say enough good about them and the job they do. It's a tremendous service they provide.
Thank you. I totally agree. And while they do it from their heart, they also have to make a living. And and they need to, you know, put food on the table. And it's just the right thing to do to stand by them. And we've worked that through a bit, but I think county employees to a large degree get a lot of bad rap. And you hear a lot of people who aren't public employees, you know, talking about, you know, well, we don't have a pension, we don't, you know. But does that mean that we should penalize people who do because they don't? I mean, it's about the choices that you make.
And that's the unfortunate thing, is that I've worked with a number of elected officials who seem to think that they can advance their cause or their own personal issues by, you know, bashing employees who really, you know, have no choice to fight back. And that's unfortunate too. There's no place for that. It's amazing how fast the time goes, and we're talking about, you know, important issues here that at least we think they're important, and I hope you're important too. And we're going to take another quick break. But before I do, I want to encourage any of you who are listening, got a question, got an opinion, whether you agree or disagree, give us a call, won't you? 707-636-1350. We'll put you on the air. We'll ask a question or a comment. This is Pete Fopiano here on The Drive. Stick with us after the break, won't you?
Here's a Drive traffic update with Michael Green in the KSRO Traffic Center.
And if you happen to be heading out towards the coast in Bodega Bay, getting word of an overturned vehicle blocking Highway 1 near Bay Hill Road, very close to Bodega Bay proper. So look out there. Otherwise, just looking at standard slowdowns, and we do see that jam up North 101 leaving Rohnert Park right around Santa Rosa Avenue out towards Hearn and Yolanda. Looks like that stall was taken care of at the Steel Lane exit, so no issue there. The bulk of your South 101, that's going to turn heavy just before Hopper Mendocino and all the way down the line to Corby. Narrows from Atherton to Washington jammed, and 36.